Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. My name is Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 90s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. And welcome to yet another edition of the Astrology Hour on KFOX. Oh, what a weird weekend for the Rams and the Raiders. And now we have entered the moon wobble state. And that's always so exciting. Nothing like October and a moon wobble, huh? But the moon wobble will peak, in case you want to mark your calendars. It won't be over until a week after the peak, but it will peak exactly on the 26th of this month, Friday. And then, for 7 days following, actually on the 2nd of November, maybe the 3rd, is when it'll finally be over. So it's 21 days before the peak, approximately, and 7 days following. Moon wobble means the sun is either in conjunction to, in square to, or in opposition to the north node of the moon. And with the sun moving into Scorpio on the 26th, it will be squaring the north node of the moon in Aquarius. Now, moon wobbles are not that terrible. What they do oftentimes is they raise the percentage of disappointments oftentimes associated with brand new projects. So of all the new projects that will be begun, or new beginnings, or new relationships that will be started during a moon wobble period, the closer we get to the peak. That's why it was so important that I interviewed and got Laura Lee and Yolanda in to help the show out on Friday and Saturday, because I wanted to get them in before the moon wobble started, because it was hitting there on Saturday night. But anyway, you get a higher percentage of slow starts, disappointments, and mechanical difficulties during a moon wobble period. So that's really the focus. Now, I can't really explain to you why that is, but I will say that I personally believe that when the sun is conjunct, square, or opposed the north node of the moon, or oppose it, that there is some kind of emotional punch that is somehow knocked out when it occurs. And that's why, if you follow football and you notice it was a really strange weekend with lots of upsets, and also if you're a baseball fan, you'll notice during this year's playoffs and World Series, we might have lots of surprises. Everybody expects Oakland to walk through with it, but the World Series and the National League and American League playoffs are taking place during a moon wobble, so anything can happen. It's expect the unexpected. And like I say, during a moon wobble, it doesn't mean that everything is going to be jinxed. It just means that if there's normally a 10 or 15% chance of disappointment during a normal period, with the moon wobble, that might go up to 20% or 24% chance, instead of 1 out of 6 or 7 times, maybe 1 out of 4. So that's why a lot of people try to avoid brand new beginnings. That's why we got a contractor and we got a painter and we got everything going on Saturday to try to reconstruct my apartment after the fire that we had in my apartment last week. And we got everything going before the moon wobble. So now you can finish things. You know, once you start your beginnings, now you can have continuations after that. Basically, a very, very important thing to be aware of is the percentage of failure would be at its strongest right on the 26th of October. That's when the hardest part of the moon wobble strikes. So a lot of people will experience letdown and disappointments and problems right at that point and 1 week following. Okay? So that's the time when you want to be careful and cautious and just take it one step at a time and not do anything too crazy. Well, welcome to another week of Astrological Metaphysical Radio. Today I'm going to talk about karmic explosions and the planet Uranus and what happens when you have problems in your life and you don't do anything about them. What I'm specifically talking about here, as we take a look around our lives and look to the right, look to the left, look forward, behind, above, and below, we might notice that we have elements in our life that are not right. Now, the best way I could ever figure out what or where or how a karmic situation may develop is whenever there's pain, whenever there's anxiety, whenever there's stress, if there's fear, if there's worrying, if there's anger, hostility, sadness, any negative vibration whatsoever, to me, would identify a karma. The problem that, now people will say, okay, Farley, what's a karma? Well, you see, the reason why we're human and the reason why we're here is because we're being punished. Earth is really not a very nice place to come in the last 150, 200,000 years, because Earth is a place for lost souls to come and learn how to find themselves, specifically. I'm not trying to tell you that we're all lost souls, but in a way, we have lost our way, we have lost our path. Meaning that if we were spiritually evolved souls with sound records of grace, humility, selflessness, compassion, and also oneness and love that was authentic, you know, that authenticity I talked about, then there'd be no reason for us to come to Earth. Now, there are some people that decide to come to Earth for some God knows reason that are not lost souls. In other words, I would say that there is a very tiny percentage point of individuals that come here that you might either classify as first timers on Earth, which is very rare, or those who I might call like a bodhisattva or an individual who is spiritually cleansed and decides to come down here just to help, to guide and lead and serve by example truth the way for others to learn how to live their lives. But typically, most of us are down here because we are so obsessed with this planet and with materialism and with everything that goes on Earth, that spiritually speaking, we are looked at as being lost and ignorant and actually in the darkness as far as what the real truth is. I don't care what the most evolved earthling is like on this planet spiritually. In no way can I compare that to what exists beyond Earth as far as the knowledge, the power, and the love that exists beyond this realm, which the ancient Norwegians and the Vikings used to refer to as Midgard. And, of course, beyond Midgard to the higher vibration level is Asgard, where there's a lot more power, love, humility, grace, and selflessness. But this is Midgard, and then obviously below Midgard would be Hades, which is yet another planet, which makes Earth look like heaven. Okay, now, no matter where you might be in your life, or no matter what cycle you might be living in your life, you might take a look at your life sometimes and call me up and say, you know what, Farley, if they think this is heaven, I got a problem with that, because what I just went through was very close to hell. Especially if you experience death of loved ones, breakup of relationships, loss of career, loss of life, limb, health problems, diseases, illnesses, major political problems in the family, with friends, with the business, or a fire, or a drought, or a flood, or whatever. See, that is because Earth being in the middle between the negative vibration planet Hades and the positive realm Asgard, okay, in the Norwegian sense, that's symbolism, of course, we actually pick up vibrations from both of these realms. So a lot of the negative energy from the lower realms pierces and enters the Earth plane at the same time some of the light from the higher realms also enters this plane. That's why it seems almost insane to be here, because if we learn to overcome some of the pull of this energy down here, we'd have no need to be here anymore, and that way we could make the higher realms, the more paradise planes, where there is authentic love and authentic spirit and kindness and incredible knowledge and power and wisdom and bonding, and escape the pain that exists in earthly life, or escape the test and the qualification or the punishment that could follow from being trapped in even a lower plane, which would first be limbo, which is a parallel dimension to Earth, which is semi-non-material, and then also known as purgatory in the Bible, or the Hades realm, which is known as hell in the Bible. And of course, if you really mess up and end up in the Hades realm, the Bible calls that eternal damnation. Frankly, I feel there's hope for people down in Hades, or, well, they're not really people, but beings lost in the Hades realm, to rise up and somehow make it to Earth. so they can make it from Earth into higher realms. Now, the reason why we have so much negative energy in this realm is because people have qualified to get to Earth. There has been a major shift in the lower realms in the last million years that has allowed billions of beings to qualify to enter the Earth plane, but they've brought their negative vibration with them. So if sometimes you think that your parents or your husband or your wife or your children may seem demonic, it doesn't mean that their soul came from the well of souls in the higher planes. It could have come from the lower planes, and because of something it did that allowed grace to be blessed upon it, it earned qualification to be alive in the earth plane. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the lesson it was granted or this lifetime would be necessarily easy. So if somebody does break out of Hades and they want to try to make it on earth, it's like getting out of prison and trying to rehabilitate yourself here on earth to go to a heavenly consciousness state so you don't have to go back to a lower realm. A lot of people out there that are into metaphysics do not like to believe in the lower realms. But in a perspective sort of sense, when I take a look at the energy that exists on earth, I do observe, feel, and experience a definite positive and negative effect, which tells me that there must be two realms that are beyond the earth, definite realms, that where this positive and negative energy, this love-hate vibration comes from. Now, when we talk about karma, karma is a law that exists that means that in order to escape the pull of earth and rise above to a higher vibration plane, to a higher realm or Asgard, then you have to overcome your need to be here, or your obsession with anything on this planet, or any one person, or any one experience, or anything, period. Earth is like a dream, and so is Hades. Now, Hades is like a nightmare. Earth is like a combination of a dream and a nightmare, and what exists up in the heavenly realms is like a dream all the time. But Earth is a combination of a dream-nightmare existence, depending on what your obsessions are. Now, if you create anything on Earth that is non-spiritual or does not have a foundation from a higher realm, then that's karma. And whenever you create something that is of a non-spiritual nature, when its motive is selfish, greedy, monetary, when its motive is individualistic or egotistical or conceited, then that creates a karma. And that also, you know, that could just be a normal middle-class ethic type motive. And that's when a price is needed to be paid for that act, that word, that idea, that vibration, in order for you to understand why you don't need that energy and to give you the lesson of why it's more important to be loving and spiritual. So what we have now is we have certain things going on in our lives all the time, and those experiences that occur in our lives all the time, they create certain vibrations that affect us because we are emotional creatures. We are human beings, and we are extremely emotional, and we have very intense feelings, which means that we are also pulling from a multidimensional part of our own consciousness that we call the higher self and the intuitive mind and the God self, three levels there that exist inside of us that serve as teachers and as reflectors of love, light, and truth that give us an idea, if we allow this energy to come forth into our bodies, as to what's right and what's wrong, karmically speaking. All right? Now, if something's going on in your life and you don't feel so good about it, let's say you're in a bad marriage, are you having problems raising your children, or you're in a job that just doesn't feel right, or you're an employer who has someone working for you that doesn't seem kosher, or you're lying, cheating, or stealing to somebody, or you know someone's doing it back to you, or you're in a relationship where there's no honesty, but whatever happens, you're involved in a situation where there's pain, where there's anxiety, where you're worried because you don't feel that everything is right. There's no balance. That's karma. In the astrology chart, there are two major malefic planets, we call it, M-A-L-E-F-I-C, Saturn and Uranus, that are both harbingers of energy that help teach us and show us lessons, trials, tests, and oftentimes trauma, if we don't serve, right, to correct what the imbalance is and to recertify stability in our spiritual lives. Now, Saturn has more of a groggling, subtle effect, Whereas if you don't abide to Uranus, the Uranian energies, Uranus, then that has more of a lightning bolt shock effect, which is what today's topic is all about. Karmic explosions are the planet Uranus. And what we're talking about here is that when you get your natal horoscope back in the mail, you're going to find out that you have the planet Uranus. It could be anything from Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sag, and maybe some very, very much older folks might have it in Capricorn. A few in Aquarius, and maybe somebody's alive out there with Uranus and Pisces. But you are going to be able to find Uranus in your birth chart, like you'll find all your planets. And like Saturn, Uranus is a factor that happens to control your goals and your friends, whereas Saturn is more of a focus of the ambition and the obsession of what you want to do with your life. Uranus is a planet that we use to help design our path. So we have to watch our ambition and our motive, otherwise we get whacked by the Saturnian effect, and we have to watch the path we design and the friends we hang out with and the people we associate with, the humanity in our life, otherwise we get whacked by that. Well, the Saturn effect, you know, we all have Saturn cycles every 7 years, and then we have a major Saturn transition that lasts from 28 to 30, from 27 and a half to 30 years old. And if we don't learn from that Saturn, then there's usually a 5-year recovery. You know, if we get really hurt by what's taken from us, like a little child with a toy, usually when you turn 30, something that you've always wanted is either denied you or taken from you, depending what sign and what house your Saturn's in and how it's aspected. Something that you took for granted oftentimes also can be taken from you. And that could happen, you know, and last for 5 years afterwards. But Uranus is very different. You see, because the planet Uranus in your natal chart is going to get triggered every month and all year long by all the planets in the sky, which means that if you are living in a situation of pain in your life and you don't do something about it, then the universe does it for you. Now, many of you probably have been rejected and dumped and fired and had accidents and had sudden loss of life or health. Are sudden experiences that occur that are like unbelievable. Like you kind of like move into denial, you know, where you really don't want to believe what's happened, but when the reality strikes that something did happen and you do have to embrace it and accept it, then it sometimes can be very tough to deal with. Now, last week I had Venus and Mercury were in late Virgo, which is a part of the zodiac that I hate. Now, you know why that is? Because I have Uranus in late Gemini at 29 degrees. So whenever any darn thing gets in late mutables, like Virgo around 29, where Mercury and Venus were, or like Sagittarius at 29, which isn't quite as bad as Virgo, or Pisces. I'm sorry, yeah, Pisces around 28 or 29. Well, those are zones where in Virgo or Pisces, my Uranus in my natal chart will get squared, and in Sagittarius at 29, where my Uranus gets opposed. Well, just like hanging out with people in relationships, when they have planets in their natal charts that are in stress aspects to your Uranus, or we call them squares and oppositions, which is something you could learn about if you buy one of our starter packages, or for you advanced students, if you're having a square or opposition transit to your Uranus, like I had last week with Mercury and Venus in late Virgo and then early Libra, and they both squared my Uranus, and the entire management of the Astrology Hour changed, and my whole life changed in a 72-hour period because, you know, like I say, if there's something in your life that's not correct, that's karmically not sound, sometimes we like to hang on. You know, sometimes even though things don't seem right, we like to use the emotion of love or security or selfishness or whatever it is to keep things going the way they are when we know down deep it's wrong. And whenever I say the universe will come in and interfere and situations will be created by your higher self, by their higher self, by my higher self, by who's ever, to create certain experiences that if you don't correct these karmic situations by having closure and moving on to something new or somebody else new or by having closure, whatever's necessary, away from a career or a person or a relationship or an employer or an employee or a marriage or a family or whatever, If you don't do something about it, then the universe will interfere when you have that Uranus effect. That happens three times, actually four times a month, from the moon itself. The moon will conjunct, oppose, and square Uranus four times a month. It'll square it twice, conjunct it once, and oppose it once. So that can bring about four possible Uranus effects. The Sun, Mercury, and Venus will conjunct, oppose your Uranus once each. Like you'll have a Sun conjunct Uranus, and a Sun opposed Uranus, and a Mercury conjunct Uranus, and a Mercury opposed Uranus, and then a Venus conjunct Uranus, and a Venus opposed Uranus. And then, of course, Sun, Mercury, and Venus will also square your Uranus each twice apiece, and that'll happen during a year, a one-year period. So the Moon gets you four times a month, and the Sun, Mercury, and Venus will get that Uranus four times a year. That's 12 times a year from the Sun, Mercury, and Venus, and a total of 48 times from the Moon a year. So you're talking about from Sun, Mercury, Venus alone, including the Moon, there are 60 possible times during the year where there will be a universal karmic intervention that will seem like an explosion if you don't take care of your stuff. Now, if you're wondering why some people have hard lives or why you yourself have problems getting out of a rut or a cycle or a pattern that you're in your life where you're under constant pain and anxiety, it's because you're not processing your karma, which means you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, spiritually speaking. Which means that you're involved in some path and some goal and some obsession that is wrong for you, and because you refuse to admit that and change that, the Murphy's Law, the dark cloud over the head with the rainstorm, you know, the devil on the shoulder, whatever you want to call it, one problem after another can occur. You know, the heaviest thing about when you turn, I would say, 20 and 21, when Uranus in the sky is square your Uranus in your chart, and the next hardest period when you turn 40, 41, and 42, when you have a Uranus opposition itself in your chart, well, that's when the waterfall and the tornado and the cyclone can really hit. You know, whereas Sun, Mercury, and Venus, what I happen to have in my chart was I'm having a Uranus opposed Venus now. I've been having it for 2 years. I've had all kinds of karmic explosions occur. And when Sun, Mercury, and Venus all went into early, late Virgo and early Libra and T-squared in my Uranus and Venus situation, well, I wasn't taking care of my karma. I didn't have closure in my life where it was necessary. So the universe intervened and closed it for me. That's the way it works. I always rejoice after these things happen, no matter how bad they are. Sometimes people die. Sometimes relationships end. Sometimes careers end. Sometimes homes end. Sometimes residences, relationships with families, all kinds of heavy stuff goes down, and I rejoice afterwards, because if I'm still alive, and if I'm still breathing, and all my fingers and toes and arms and legs and hands and arms are intact, I can still see, hear, and speak, and I can breathe, and I have a few bucks to live on and something to drive, then I rejoice. Because there's a lot of people out there that have these karmic explosions, these Uranus effects, and they don't rejoice, they don't recover, they fall into depression, and that's why we end up with so many people in trouble, because they don't understand what is being shown them. And I pray for these people, because I'm frightened that if they don't get it together, that they're going to lose some of their humanity, and then either be sentenced to some shocking experience in the animal kingdom, insect world, or completely away from Earth into the Hades realm, where the dark souls are, which is not a pretty sight, I hear. Okay, so understand that the karmic explosions are always a lot stronger when all the planets are direct. There's no retrograde planets now. So all you people out there having Uranus transits now, squares and oppositions and conjunctions to your planet Uranus, or the planet Uranus itself is square, conjunct, or opposed any other planet in your chart, and now there's a moon wobble. So if you don't take care of your stuff, then you may be in for a shock. That's what it's all about. Because Uranus is a planet that has an effect like an electric shock. It rules electricity, and it rules explosions, and it rules sudden revelations. And it's quite exciting.